You are now listening to The Social Scene with your host, GZ. Get seen today and contact us at www.jzsocialenterprises.com. Today, the show is brought to you by Pace Public Relations. Welcome back to The Social Scene with Jay-Z at Jay-Z Social Enterprises. Today, I'm really excited to have such an inspiring entrepreneur on the line, Marcello Petalino, who is a lifestyle consultant, nationally award-winning DJ, executive director of MMP Entertainment and Event Production, and author of the new motivational book, Celebrate Life, How to Live It Up, Discover Fulfillment, and Experience the Joy You Deserve. Hi, Marcello. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. What an introduction. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Jackie. I know. You have so many things I want to share, so I have to tell everyone what you do.
That's fantastic. I love your energy. Thank you for having me today.
Of course. No problem. So let's talk about your background. So how did you fall into the world of entertainment to begin with?
Well, the short answer is I was looking for a career that offered flexibility and also obviously was financially rewarding to the point where I could, you know, live a certain quality of life. And the more successful people that I spoke with, they all said it comes down to either being your own boss or working for an awesome boss. So it just so happened that I found that owning my own business was easier than seeking other employment because it didn't work out that way. And just turned out that the love of music, seeing people happy, and creating these events that people never forget, that was the answer.
Right. That's awesome. So is there somebody you admired in the industry you were in? Like, how did it fall into your lap, basically, that you ended up in the industry to begin with?
I was doing this landscaping for this florist, and I had this one-hour lunchtime that I had earned. I was so happy. I did all the work that the boss wanted, and I did good work that day. I was so proud and ready to show him the results. And he stops by the location. He says, "Yeah, that's great. That's awesome." And I was like, "Great, I can enjoy my lunch now." And he says, "Yeah, just come back to the office in 15 minutes instead of your hour." And I was like, I kind of want that hour.
Right, funny, you earned it.
I worked hard. He's like, no, back in 15 minutes. So anyway, I quit that job. I was like, no, thanks. And my mother, you know, moms are so great. My mom, where she got her dry cleaning done, she had put in a good word for me at this dry cleaner. And basically, she said to the boss, "Look, he's good. He's this. He's that. To get me this job, I'm delivering shirts for the dry cleaner." And I had made some money in high school selling candy, enough to buy a sound system.
That's really impressive.
Thank you. The boss ends up, you know, his brother is getting married. He's like, "Hey, you know, I think you had mentioned at one point you were into to entertainment, music. What's the deal here? Can you DJ my brother's wedding?" I'm like, "Absolutely, I can DJ your brother's wedding." So it turned out to go off pretty well. And I got two referrals from that. And here we are 25 years later.
That's so awesome. Word of mouth is just amazing, isn't it? It's really how you build a business at the end of the day.
It really is. And yeah. I think social media has had, obviously, you know, because I know that you're well versed in it as well. But I mean, if you compare when I started in 1989, 1990, word of mouth was just that. That's all you really had back then. You know, there wasn't, nobody was really even emailing each other back then.
Right.
And now it's like you do a great job for some people, and that's wonderful. But now 150 other people are going to know about it that would never have known about your work.
So true.
For social media. So very, very appreciative and grateful to be doing business in this day and age.
Yeah, absolutely. So where are you based out of for our audience members to know?
In New Jersey. I guess we're East Coasters, right? You're up
yes.
in Boston?
Yes, I am. But I'm from New York, so I'm familiar with the Jersey area too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so North Jersey, we're about, grew up in a town called Oakland, about 15, 20 minutes from the George Washington Bridge, which is, I didn't go into the city much growing up, but it was always that special go to dinner and Broadway. My mom was very, very cool like that. She'd always make sure that we were
well-versed.
The city. But,
but my
family made sure, though, that we lived in the suburbs in that the city was fun to visit, but we wouldn't want to live there. And that's nothing against city folks, but we were just a little bit quieter. My parents liked it when it was quiet at night. So we ended up in the suburbs, and it was a great, great childhood growing up there.
That's awesome. I mean, I totally can relate because I grew up in Westchester County. So, like, that's, like, basically the suburbs of New York, you know? Like, what, not, like, Long Island, but on the other side of Long, you know?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. I think there's certain things you get used to and appreciate.
Right.
I mean, when I go into the city, whether it's for business or pleasure, I still get a little nervous. Like, not the traffic is, okay, I can kind of get used to that, you know? But, man, it's such a fast pace And I think just driving, I get lost no matter how well I can prepare with my directions. My GPS always goes out,
right.
And it's there's cops that are yelling at me because I'm going too slow. I'm like, I don't know where I'm going. It says something different.
Exactly. So, I mean, my recommendation
would be
to go
out the State Parkway.
Right. If you don't have to drive to the city, do not. Like, take the train. Just walk everywhere.
Right. And that would be great. But what I was going to say was the Garden State Parkway here in Jersey, we have exits. So you go to a certain exit, you get off the exit, you go to where you got to, you know, you go where you have to go. And when you go home, get back on the parkway, go back to your own exit, and you get off, and that's it. We have a couple highways like that, nice and easy.
Right.
New York City, I swear, it's upside down. People always say, oh, no, just follow the grid. It's a grid. It's really not a grid. It's not a grid because you've got construction, you've got one ways here, one way. Forget it.
It's too complicated. But that's very
Definitely
cool. You're from Jersey. So you were born in Jersey, grew up in Jersey, and you're still there.
I'm a Jersey boy. Love it. I do get away every winter. I take my sabbatical out in Costa Rica for the month.
Nice.
Just because the winters, I'm not a winter guy. I'm not a snow guy. But I talk about that in the book as far as how important sabbaticals are. And, you know, if I was a skier or appreciated the cold weather, it'd be a different story. But I don't. I love our Jersey shores. It's just awesome. I was just there. I'm there usually once a week, twice a week with the family. And how about you? Are you a beach goer?
A beach goer. People like moving to Boston, like the summer's gorgeous here. Winters are awful. Like, what? It's crazy here. But I mean, we're East Coasters. It just comes with the territory. You know, New York gets it bad some years too. So mm-hmm. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
So very interesting background. So now let's talk about how your book came together. So what inspired you to start writing?
Very simple. I, you know, with my daughter 7 years old, going to be 7 in a few weeks, Isabella, and I wanted to make sure that if I died too soon, for whatever reason, God forbid, that she would be able to learn everything that I would have wanted to teach her.
Aww.
All the life lessons.
That's very nice. Is she your only daughter?
Yes.
Very cute.
So, one girl, I think I hit the jackpot. She's phenomenal. She's really just a good kid, and I see a lot of so much potential, and I know how important my parents were in my development, personal, physical, spiritual, so I want to be able to offer that to Isabella, and I think that was just one way I could guarantee that was going to happen. So
absolutely.
Along the way, I figured I'd publish it, and a few other people have said they've benefited from it as well, so you know, God willing, you got Isabella will grow up to, you know, she's 90 and I'm there as long as I can. And I can show her all this in person. But just in case, she can open up this book someday and say, that's what he was talking about.
Yeah, oh, that's so awesome. I definitely want to talk about your key ingredients. So let's talk about some key chapters of breaking apart how to celebrate life. So tell us, Marshall.
Sure. Sure. Well, you know, you've got, I'll just break them down real quick. You have to take care of yourself. You've got to keep good company. You've got to do what you love. You've got to travel. You've got to make a difference. You've got to learn how to let it go, and you have to learn how to evolve. And in a nutshell, we break those chapters down like that in order because, in my opinion, chapter number one, taking care of yourself, the rest of the book is all for naught if you can't take care of yourself. Because if you're not healthy, it doesn't really matter. Nothing else in life will matter if you're not taking care of yourself. Because if you can't take care of yourself, you can't take care of the people that depend on you.
Right. And how can you enjoy life when you're focused on all the hardships and stuff that you're dealing with physically or emotionally? Right. It's so true.
And it's not even just in a, like a psychological way to be healthy. I mean, you need to physically first be healthy, you know, and that comes along with, I see some of your posts. You also post a lot of positive things, and that's great. And I think that's hugely important too. But even before that, if you're not physically healthy and capable of taking care of yourself, then you're just going to be, I think you're just cheating yourself out of the most incredible existence that you actually can have. And I don't know, do you agree with that? Do you think that
totally.
The physical is before the emotional? Yeah.
Absolutely. Because, I mean, emotional is affected after your physical, you know? I think that that's your physical. You have to feel good in order to emotionally feel good. So
yeah, and then I try to just break it down as a performer, as an event producer. I'm in the kind of the entertainment business for, in my little world here. And I've always said that if I don't look good, I don't feel good. And if I don't feel good, then I don't perform well. And if I don't perform well, then I'll be out of business.
Right.
And then that's kind of my mantra. So if I do look good, then I feel good. If I feel good, I perform well. And when I perform well, business is good. My clients are happy. The future looks bright, and then I'm a nicer person to be around, obviously, and my family's happy, and it's just great. It's really, you've heard of a vicious cycle, obviously. This is the opposite. It's just when everything is just, you're running on all cylinders. That's a really
totally.
Awesome feeling, very energizing. Yep.
Yeah. So it's like you're not necessarily your adrenaline, but your endorphins are just enlightened, kind of thing. Like you just keep going with all the positives, right? Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And it's like for people who come to me and they say they want help sometimes from the health wellness perspective, they want to get in better shape. They want to eat better, this and that. And I say, well, look, it's up to you. As soon as you start and can make this disciplined engagement a part of your everyday routine, then until you get to that point, it's not going to work. Because again, the opposite of the vicious cycle is the fact that when you start feeling good, you're not going to want to eat poorly. You're not going to want to not exercise and whatnot, because all of a sudden, all these good little things start happening. You start to, this is when all the other emotions kick in. You start to emotionally feel better. Your senses become just so much more, and heightened. And then it keeps getting better and better and better. So I think it's a wonderful, wonderful, situation to be in. So that's why I say, man, just get yourself in good shape, eat right, and you'll be on your way. Then you're going to meet some great people along the way, because I don't know if you've noticed this, but I think I was introduced to you by some good friends or some mutual acquaintances, and they're all the same way.
Right.
Start hanging around with positive people who are kind of, they take care of themselves. They don't really hang around with many people that don't do those things that are unhealthy and that aren't fun to be around. So
right, you attract what you are. You hear that all the time. It's true.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's the second chapter. Keeping good company. It's the quote that I love to go back to always is, "You are who you surround yourself with." I really, really believe that. If you took a look at the people you hung out with in the last 6 months. I can tell you that's probably why, if you're not happy with how things are going, if you look back who you spent the most time with in the past 6 months, I can't guarantee it, but I can tell you it's probably a good indication of what the problem is.
Totally.
And, on the opposite side, I'm sure I saw some of your posts the other day and you're hanging around with some pretty awesome people. I mean, especially being able to interview people, who they own their own business, they've got a new project, you've got from your magazine, you've got people that are, really good at what they do as far as nutrition, as far as relationships goes, as far as the nightlife scene, lifestyle things. I'm like, Matt, Jackie's got, she's in a good spot. Good for you.
Thanks, Marcello. I really appreciate that. Thank you. But I couldn't relate more. That's why I felt like we would hit off this interview, because we could totally relate in that sense. So that was awesome.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit more about when you're not working, your exciting lifestyle, even though it's amazing, what you like to do for fun with your daughter and your wife, and tell us about what you guys do.
Well, I can tell you that it usually involves physical activity.
That's good.
So, so Jill now, that's my soulmate. She's so incredible. And as a family unit here, Isabella and I and Jill will go out and... yesterday is a great example. We went out because we have like a rule in our house. It's 70 degrees outside. It's after work, before work, or on the weekend or something. If the sun's out and it's a beautiful day, we have to go out and go do something. So we live by a really beautiful lake. We're very fortunate. And we have friends who lend us their kayaks. They take us out water skiing. And We have bikes that we have that we, this is like this 8 mile loop that we go out and do. So it's usually, it starts there. We're either going to get up and go kayaking, running, or water skiing. And then if it's something we want to do, if it's we have the time, we'll go down to the shore, and we'll just go down to the beach for the entire day. We all, with three of us, we love surf. We love body surfing. We love just reading on the beach. We'll set Isabella up with her book. She'll read a Junie B. Jones book. Jill will read. She's a pediatrician. She'll read one of the new pediatric journals or something like that. And I'll open up one of my Men's Health or my GQs that I haven't had a chance to look up yet or check out yet. And that's it. I mean, those are really the core things that we do as a family. And individually, they're not much different.
That's so inspiring, though. I mean, especially during this time of year, like, sunlight is mm-hmm. so, like, it makes you feel great just to be out, you know?
Yeah, and can you imagine, you've got, I always love the fact that you could get up early and do things. So in the Northeast, it's really tough here, and that's why I like to get away in the winter. But, you know, imagine, you know those days when it's, like, frigid cold. It's, like, 23 degrees outside. It's slushy. You can't really even go run or ride your bike because it's dangerous. You're going to fall on the ice or something.
Right.
And it's like pitch black until, like, 6:30 in the morning. But now, you know, we've had that summer solstice or whatever it is, and at least here, it could be 63, 68, 70 degrees at 6 o'clock in the morning, even 5:45 in the morning here. And we can get up as a family, go down to the lake ourselves, and just walk the boardwalk along the lake. Or Jill will go down and take her run, or the three of us will go out. And, you know, Jill's a former softball, volleyball, like, you know, she was really good in college. So now we're teaching Isabella how to do, you know, how to play softball. And we got her the little mask and the ball and the glove. And Jill feels like she's, back in college again. And Isabella looks up to her like, man, this is so awesome. I want to be like you. And I'm just there having a workout and loving the fact that, wow, this is so great. Everyone is just, it's what I've dreamed of. It's what I always wanted to have, an active family that was just supporting each other and taking advantage of nice weather. And, there you go.
I love it. It's so peaceful, too. Like, it's so great to just be active and go out and enjoy life, you know? Like, it's so awesome. I love it.
Yeah, I wouldn't want it to be any other way. And it doesn't make us better than anyone else. I just don't understand how people – I don't understand people who prefer to be inside playing a video game or being on – that's where I don't like social media, when people are using it to – not just check out a new article or support a fan page that they enjoy, but the type. They just get online to argue a political point
totally.
Or something.
Right.
I'm like, oh, no, can't do it. And right. that's when I talk about, in that same chapter too, about keeping good company. There's the VDPs and the VIPs. The VIPs are the very inspirational people. Then there's the VDPs, just very draining people.
That's creative.
Yeah, and the easiest way to describe, obviously the VIPs are the ones you want to hang out with, which I think that's who you and I hang out with. Then the VDPs are the ones, the best way to describe it is they're the ones who can find a problem for every solution you come up with.
Totally.
It's so frustrating. And they're the same type that, man, there comes a point where no matter what you do, whether it's online or in person, no matter what you do, no matter what you say, they will never, ever be satisfied. They will always find something wrong or something to pick at or whatever it is. And, good-natured souls, I think you're in the same company from what I've seen, you will try to help them, probably more than you should, because you're a good person, right?
Right.
You don't want to leave anybody not happy. You want to fix the world sometimes. And I fall into that trap. I'm like, not that I want to convert people. I just want to, maybe someone didn't say this yet. Or maybe
release the drama. Right.
I don't know. Yeah, right. So, but after a while, you start to learn, and I learned this lesson a long time ago. It was a hard lesson to learn. You can't solve everyone else's problems. And maybe you shouldn't. You weren't put on this earth for that purpose. And unfortunately, if you don't stop trying to help and trying to be the nice guy, the nice girl, instead of trying to throw a life, a life preserver to someone, you're actually throwing out an anchor, and you go down with that person because you're trying to swim back with an anchor, and it just doesn't work. So I've always had that visual in my head once it was explained to me, and I just found it was better to focus on your family, focus on your, what's important to you. And if you can help somebody else out, great. but don't obsess about it. And,
everybody learns their own lessons at the end of the day. I liked that philosophical take, by the way. That was very interesting. It's so true. It's like they pull you down in the water with them when they're not good energy. Could not relate to that more. That makes so much sense.
It's scary, and it's a tough situation to be in.
Mm-hmm. So true.
So do you get out much? Do you get to travel? I mean, what do you do with your free time? Are you similar? Because if you like the sunlight and you like the warm days, I would think you're an outdoor person too.
Yeah. Well, I have a dog, so every morning I'm out for like an hour before everything. I start my day by taking her for a long walk.
I saw that. I saw a great like menorah picture or something. So
yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm half Jewish and half Catholic. So she celebrated her. She's only a year old, so it was her first Hanukkah this season. So it was really cute.
That's great. Are you one of the cool ones who goes out? You've got you're one of the nice ones. You go out and you clean up afterwards, and you go to the dog park, and you go to like dog friendly restaurants and stuff.
Totally, but I have to admit, at one point in my life, I had smaller dogs when I was just a sister to the dog, and it wasn't my own. So of course, I didn't always pick it up. I mean, I got to be realistic here. But now, like, I learned from experience, and I always do. So lesson learned, you know.
Well, the reason I ask is I've got a good friend in the industry who I look up to very much, and he's a great friend, mentor as well, and he's a huge dog lover, huge. I've never seen anyone treat their dogs so well, and I don't even call them his dogs anymore. They're his kids, and that's just the way it is.
Right.
Everyone's accepted that, and they're awesome. They also take in rescue dogs and stuff, but I've learned a lot. I've learned about some of the conundrums that you can get into as a dog owner, and one being he's also a very active jogger and runner. And one day he was running. He actually picked up the poop like he was supposed to, but he had like another 3 miles left. So he put the poop, which was in a plastic bag, in someone's garbage. Like he lifted up, it was like garbage day or something.
Uh-huh.
He lifted up the lid, put it in there, and he got like a fine for it.
You're kidding.
He got yelled at by the people. I'm serious, totally serious, because then I thought about it. I'm like, yeah, that is kind of a conundrum. Like you probably should take it to go because you're putting – that stuff. And so would you want somebody to put that in your garbage?
Yeah, but you can't win because it's like you're doing a good deed by cleaning it up and you're putting it in the garbage if it's garbage day. That sucks for him. He was doing a good thing by at least by cleaning it up. He could have left
it. I'm always fascinated by, like what would you do? It sounds like you just lift it up, put it in there. You wouldn't take it with you, would you?
No, I would not. Come on, you want to be running with that for like another 3 miles? No, thank you.
Well, there you go. That's why I asked. I don't know. I haven't had that issue to deal with. So
no,
it's
a good thing. You probably don't want to deal with carrying poop. It's not the best thing ever. But, I mean, you got to do what you got to do when you have a pet. So it comes with the territory. So tell everyone where they can get your book. Where is it right now available?
They can go to celebratelifebook.com.
Perfect. And then where can people follow you on social media to get in touch with you for business and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, easiest way is MMP, like Michael Peter. It's MMP Marcello. That's what I am on for Instagram, for Twitter. But CelebrateLifeBook.com takes them right to my blog, and that's where all of my handles are and whatnot. That's a good place to start. But
awesome. Well, Marcello, it's been such a pleasure. This was so much fun, even though we talked about dog poop at the end. But, it happens.
There you go.
But we learned a lot, and everybody definitely needs to go check out his new amazing book. It is so inspiring. It really is touching that you wrote it for your daughter originally. That's so awesome. And definitely stay tuned till our next episode. I'd love to have you back. You're always welcome, Marcello.
Excellent. Jackie, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Of course. Thanks, everyone, for tuning into The Social Scene, and stay tuned till next time. Be sure to check out Marcello's special feature on polishedandbubbly.blogspot.com. Don't forget, The Social Scene is where you can get seen today by thousands between blogger placements, special events, radio features, magazine features, and more. Contact us today at jzsocialenterprises@gmail.com.